EOTM Radio. Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Stephen Knight, and you listen to The Stephen Knight Show. My name is Stephen Knight, and welcome to the Stephen Knight Show here on EOTM Radio. I'd like to thank you, as always, for joining us tonight, especially here on Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday. So happy MLK Day to each of you. We have a great show lined up tonight. We'll be discussing the latest in entertainment news, sports, fashion, and the latest in movie reviews. And last week we had to reschedule. Mr. Perry had something to do at the last minute, but you've seen him as co-host on The Monique Show and even in Tyler Perry's Madea's Big Happy Family. We welcome funny man himself, Rodney Perry, so definitely look forward to that. As always, we want you to be part of the discussion, so call in with your questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6543. Again, that's 718-664-6543. And you can also join us in chat. There's a link on our Facebook page. But first, Ms. Parker, how are you feeling tonight?
Feeling really good. Looking forward to speaking to Mr. Rodney Perry.
I hear that. So how was your weekend?
Okay. It was a good weekend. Wish I had a day off. I was supposed to play, but, you know, I know where my heart is, and I couldn't make it. I had to be at work.
Right.
Have to do what I have to do.
Right, exactly. I know we wanted to talk about Martin Luther King Day. Anything you wanted to say?
You know, I posted something on my Facebook yesterday, and I really stand by my statement. I think that, you know, people tend to, you know, think about MLK, Dr. King, on this weekend or on, you know, the 15th or whatever, once a year type thing. But
right.
I think if you truly want to honor Dr. King's legacy, you have to live your life in a productive way. I think a lot of the foolishness that are going on right now, Dr. King would definitely not approve of. I think that, you know, in every decision we make, I know me as a black woman, every decision I make, I try to keep that in mind, that we have people who fought and died for us to have rights and be able to make decisions and live the life that we lead now. So I don't know if many of my brothers and sisters out there are, you know, using the same thought process as they make their decisions. I don't know, our values have changed since, you know, since the civil rights movement. And I just wish that everyone would try to remember and try to, you know, keep in mind that people actually died and went through hell for you to be where you are now. So I think being a productive member of society is a way of honoring their memories.
Exactly. And one thing that Dr. King stood for was equality for all people, and for helping your brother and your sisters out, regardless of race, regardless of religion, but being there to be helpful and support the next person.
Yeah, he had a sense of oneness. Like,
you're
all part of this whole community. And everything that you do, and I try to preach this a lot to people, whatever decision you make, ultimately is going to affect society as a whole. So let's say you have a child that you can't take care of, and this child turned out being to become a mass murderer or whatever, you have some responsibility in that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You were not able, you knew that you weren't able to take care of this child, but you still had this child. I'm not saying have an abortion or whatever, but you could have beaten the child up. There could have been other decisions made. I just feel like life is about making choices, not just you. It has to be, we have to come to a point where we realize that everything we do affects each other. And I'm not saying don't live your life for you, don't have fun or enjoy yourself, but major decisions should be based on this sense of community. And I think that's what Dr. King wanted, like, you know,
yeah.
Whatever you do, the hatred that you have in your heart is going to reflect on all of us, you know.
Exactly.
When
exactly.
he said injustice to one is injustice to all, he meant that, you know, whenever one person is not being treated right, it affects all of us.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm a history buff and I'm a documentary junkie.
Yes, you are.
So I think those things are what keeps me so mindful of the sacrifices that people went through. My parents definitely instilled that in me, that, you know, things weren't as easy before and people actually sacrificed a lot for you to get where you are. So always remember that.
Absolutely. I put a quote on Facebook this morning and it says, faith is taking the first step even when you can't see the whole staircase. And that was from Dr. Martin Luther King. So we definitely remember him on this day and hopefully in our own lives try to do something to better ourselves and better our communities and just be better people, not especially in honor of him, but especially in honor of yourself. So keep that
I hope
in
there
mind.
Weren't any shootings at the MLK parade.
Oh, Lord.
I mean, on the West Coast, it goes down.
Yeah, but you know what? We find, I was talking to one of my friends last week. We were talking about MLK. Anywhere there's an MLK, have you noticed where there's an MLK street?
It's a bad neighborhood.
It's a bad area. I mean, murder and everything else. This is crazy. But anyway,
you know, my cousin was trying to be funny on Facebook today and posted Dr. King would not approve of any of the stuff going on in MLK Boulevard. It's like, it was meant to be funny, but it's so true.
But it's true.
It's
yeah.
like any MLK Boulevard anywhere, he wouldn't approve of any of the stuff.
Mm-mm. Not at all. Well, happy MLK to everyone that's listening tonight. Now, I know that A-Ron, you on the line?
A-Ron's here.
What's going on, man?
Hey, A-Ron.
Hey, Ms. Parker. Hey, Stephen, man. Life is
Do
good,
you
man.
You have any thoughts on Martin Luther King?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. First and foremost, would actually, you know, like to, you know, wish him a happy 83rd birthday, even though he's no longer with us in body, but he's always with us in spirit.
Amen.
I like to thank also his family for their sacrifice also. You know, they sacrificed a lot because even though we think of him as you know, Dr. Martin Luther King, the civil rights leader and everything, he was also somebody's father, somebody's husband, somebody's son,
right.
somebody's brother. So, you know, I just like to thank his family for their sacrifice. Also, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, how was your weekend?
My weekend was good, man. Watched football.
Watched
football.
What's
first
going
of all, last week I said that LSU was going to come back and win. I was wrong.
Yes, you were.
I was so wrong.
Yeah.
So I had to take that one on the chin. I was definitely wrong with that. You know, big ups to Alabama. You know, they showed that they are the best college football team in the country.
Yeah.
So big ups to them. Denver, it was fun while it lasted. Didn't last too long, but Denver, you know, they beat the Steelers last weekend, and then this weekend they met Tom Brady, the New England Patriots, and that was all she wrote. So Tim Tebow, I don't know, man. I like him as a person, but as a football player, like really watching him play, I just don't see it. I don't see him being a championship caliber quarterback. I just don't see it.
Yeah.
I really don't
see it. He's getting
a lot of flack.
Say what? I say he's getting a lot of flack.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Tom Brady. gosh, I'm sorry. Tim Tebow has his good moments, but his bad moments outshine his good moments.
Yeah.
And in the NFL, man, you cannot be no, you know, top, you know, starting, you know, top 10 quarterback playing like that. It's just not going to happen. So I really see him being a starter in the NFL. I could be wrong, but I just don't see it. And again, I like Tim Tebow. I'm not hating on him at all.
Right.
He had a cool season. He really did. Dude had a cool season, and dude has heart. You know, he has a big heart. But I just don't see him. You know, physically, I just don't see him being a top quarterback in the NFL. So now, with that being said, I have to pick if I had to pick the two teams to be in the Super Bowl. Here we go. I'm gonna say,
you ready for this?
Yeah, San Francisco and Baltimore. And the reason being is because I feel that those are the best two teams. But also, I would like to see the Harbaugh brothers. They're actually brothers that actually coach the teams. Like one brother is the head coach of the 49ers, and then his brother is the head coach of the Ravens. So I would kind of like to see, you know, the two brothers going at it in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
So Ravens, 49ers in the Super Bowl, but knowing my luck, it'll be the Giants and the let's see what else I want to talk about. I kind of want to talk about a little bit about the Kobe Bryant thing, because if like last week, I think you had asked me,
you want to get into it.
And I kind of didn't want to, you know, talk about it.
But now that
I think about it, you know, these people are public figures, and you know, it's hard to talk about it. I actually don't know much about the situation. All I know is that his wife and him are divorcing. I don't know why. Maybe Ms. Parker may know more about that than I do, but
Parker, you want to weigh in?
I think I already said what I needed to say.
Oh, okay.
He's been cheating on her, and you know, I guess she's fed up. But you know,
that's kind of where I'm coming from. He made his bed, and he needs to lie in it. And the thing is, if you are going to have all of that money, just don't get married.
Yeah, because
if you don't get married,
I agree with that. Yeah,
type of commitment. I think
it's
people like Michael Jackson, a Kobe Bryant, pretty much any athlete should not be married.
Well, you know, and so her stepfather, Vanessa's stepfather, you know, came out. I don't think.
And said that her mother is a gold digger and taught her well.
Yeah, both of them are gold diggers, and that she knew what she was doing. That's why she waited 10 years, because in 10 years in Cali, you get half.
You don't have to be married.
She's already transferred two of estates that they were sharing in her name. They've already done that around.
Wow. Well, I don't know. You know, I mean, there's always two sides, but the one side that we all know is that Kobe is a cheater, and he, you know, he definitely cheated. And, you know, I have to say what goes around comes around. I mean, you know, he kind of, you know, messed up, man, and
right,
now
right.
I got to, you know, eat it. You know, he has to eat it, and that's just tough. That's, man.
There is a consequence to every decision we make.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I mean, if she's a gold digger, she's a good one.
She came up. She made it.
She came up right. Hey, you don't hate the player. You know, hate the game.
She did.
Hate on the game, right?
She put in that 10 years.
There are plenty of other women out there that would love to be in her situation, and they can lie in front like they wouldn't, but please, they would,
right.
You know.
Absolutely.
So, right.
Did you know Muhammad Ali turned 70 on the 14th?
Oh, wow. Happy birthday to him.
Mm-hmm.
That is beautiful. Absolutely.
And,
happy birthday,
Mama Brown. Stevie Wonder's birthday was today, so don't forget that.
Oh, Stevie Wonder's birthday?
Her birthday was today, yes.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
I wonder if anybody made that happy birthday song.
He was very instrumental in making, huh?
I wonder if that's why he made that happy birthday song for Martin Luther King.
He worked very hard to get the holiday for MLK. He was like the front, pushing for it. Big up to him. He worked hard and really wanted to honor Dr. King, and we appreciate that.
Absolutely. Well, that's pretty
Anything
much
else?
It on in the world of sports, man. I'm just looking forward to Championship Sunday, man. Next Sunday. Looking forward to it. So that's
right.
Pretty much it. Yeah. Oh, y'all, please pray for my cousin EJ. He's officially overseas in Afghanistan. So. He's going to be there for 8 months. So, if you can, shout him out, pray for him and everything. Again, you can also follow him on Facebook at EJ Holt. That's EJ Holt, H-O-L-T. You can follow me, Ron Cosby 1 on Twitter. That's Ron, R-O-N, Cosby, just like Bill, and the number 1. Also, A-Ron Cosby on Facebook. Appreciate it.
All right, Ron, we appreciate you, and definitely be sending our thoughts and prayers to your cousin over in Afghanistan, okay?
All right, thank you.
All right, have a good one.
All right.
Ms. Ferguson.
I'm here.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm doing good. Any thoughts you have on the whole Martin Luther King thing?
Well, I'm so sorry that I couldn't take it off. I spent my weekend... to celebrate them and everything.
Yeah.
I spent my weekend, just looking at little historical things that came on the History Channel, such things like that, and that's what I did over the weekend. Well, and shopped, but.
Right, yeah, well, we knew that.
That's the best way I can honor him. But,
right.
But yeah, I don't think that enough of us have. Like I was disappointed, of course, that our company doesn't let us offer that day because I think that's a really important day.
I think it is.
If you're gonna spend it the right way, of course. What did you say?
That they said it gave us that floating holiday.
Oh yeah. Well yeah, you can use that.
Right.
Yeah, they're doing us a big favor, huge favor.
Right.
Oh, no, thank you. I don't know. Well, let me shut up. Anyway. Anyway, I was out this weekend shopping, of course, I came across tons and tons of things that I'm so excited to tell you all about. One of the first things that I wanted to tell you about, the best sales I came across this weekend, was at Nordstrom Rack. They're having a 75% off all of their clearance sale, and when I tell you I'm looking at tops, they're like $5 off. I found a $200 dress for $14. And these are name brand, BCBG, Tahari, all types of things. I mean, I love Nordstrom Rack, and this is exactly why. Because they really know how to discount their clothes. Once they're trying to get rid of something, they ain't trying to hold on to it like Macy's or anything. They're really trying to get rid of it. So they really did really well this past weekend with discounting everything, and they still have tons of things. Of course, there are two in the Atlanta area. The first one is in Buckhead. That's the centrally located one. And then the second one is at the Mall of Georgia. So if you have time, I mean, of course you can shop online, but it's not able to be in there, hold the clothes, try them on. So you can definitely, I would definitely try to get down there if I could. They have tons of things. And I do mean tons. My aunt and I racked up. another sale that I wanted to tell you about was Victoria's Secret. They're having a clearance sale, and all of their panties are $2.99. So all of the clearance panties, that is, are just $2.99 each. Plus you get... what'd you say?
I thought
they brought
my
girl. And plus, you get free shipping on your purchase.
They're probably not the cute ones.
No, it is. I mean, you have the cot, and then you have now, that it's not the sets. I mean, of course, you might be able to match it up with the set, with the bra. But, I mean, you know, $2.99 for a pair of underwear, can you really say anything? I mean, see, you can match it up the best way you can. Yeah. another one of my stores, Last Call by Neiman Marcus. If you shop there now, you can get an extra 50% off of all of their cashmere, winter sweaters, wraps, scarves, hats, like all things winter. Plus, you get an extra 30% off of everything else. So that's something that you guys might want to check out. Because, of course, you know, they're trying to clear out all of their winter items to bring in things for the spring, which is right around the corner. So you might want to try that. Today is the last day to shop the five-day sale at Bloomingdale's. You can shop now and get 30 to 50% off, and today is the last day, like I said. So you can always go online at bloomingdales.com and check it out. Nine West just had additional markdowns, and now you can get up to 70% off of sale items, so select sale items. And, of course, like I said, it's up to 70% off. Now, if you go onto their website, you will notice that they have the highest discounted products at the top, and then it goes down. So, like, you'll find lots of pairs of boots that are 70% off. So that's something you may want to check out.
Quick question: is Victoria's Secret sale online as well, or just in store?
Yes, it's online as well. Yeah, I mean, at this time of night, I wouldn't tell anybody anything, you know, that they couldn't get online, because they'd probably be looking for me to shoot me or something. You know, you telling this boss on the end of the 9 and it's 10:30?
Right.
Yeah, no, I would never do that. But, everything that I'm telling you about, you normally can get them online and in the stores, or just online only. So with this particular sale, you can definitely get this online. Okay. If you're getting married, or if you know anyone that's getting married, this is for you. The Limited is having a wedding dress sale. And, yeah, I know what you're thinking, the Limited wedding dress. Yeah, they do have wedding dresses, and they are, of course, for the budget-conscious bride. And their wedding dresses right now are on sale, and the sale prices range from $59.99 to $99, which is really, really good for a wedding dress. Yeah, so if you know anybody, they also
online?
Have... Yeah, those dresses. Well, the wedding collection is online only, so you can't go into the store and get it. And they also have bridesmaids dresses and mother of the bride dresses and things like that. So if you know of anyone who's going to be getting married anytime soon, you might want to tell them about that, because that sale is ending in a couple of days. If you've heard of shoes.com, that's like a shoe mega warehouse, but it's online only. Today is the last day to shop their anniversary sale, and you can get 25% off of sale shoes and boots. The Gap, I'm just all over the place. The Gap, you can shop online at The Gap now, and you can get, because I have so much stuff, I'm just like, I don't know what to tell everybody about. If you shop online at The Gap, you can get up to 40% off of select items. And the last sale I have to tell you guys about is Express. Express is giving an extra 40% off of all clearance, plus you get $25 off of every $75 that you spend. And if you're shopping online, you need to use code 1002. So that's 1002. Okay. That's all I have to tell you guys about tonight.
Definitely a lot of good information.
Take a breath, huh?
I was like, I'm all over the place. I don't know what to tell them about. What should I tell them about next? So, yeah. Okay.
No, but they love that. They love the discounts and stuff, especially the women loving the shop and stuff. So we appreciate it.
Oh, well, great, great. Okay.
And they can go on budgetshopaholic.com for this information as well. Is that correct?
They surely can, yes, yes.
Okay. All right, well, thanks. Have a good night.
Okay, you too.
Thanks,
thank you, guys.
Thanks, for as always.
Can't wait till next week.
All right.
Well,
Ms. Parker, let's keep it moving and tell us what's going on in entertainment.
Well, let me go ahead and start by making a correction. I'm sorry, it wasn't Stephen Wonder's birthday. It was Aaliyah's birthday. I'm trying to remember all these dates and all this information, so forgive me. Aaliyah's birthday was today. I think she would have been 32, but don't quote me on that. So rest in peace to the beautiful and talented Aaliyah. We miss you. We definitely miss your music. We grew up on your hits. So definitely,
absolutely,
you know, our prayers and thoughts are with her family. I know that this can be an easy day for them. So a little correction there. Forgive me for my mistake. Stephen Wonder's birthday is actually May 13th. So,
okay,
moving on. Have you heard of Khloe Kardashian whole thing with her not being a Kardashian?
Yeah, I've heard there. Is it, has it been confirmed?
You know what? I've always thought so, honestly. She does not look like any of them.
Well, she definitely ain't the fine one in the
group. She definitely has a different dad, I think. Supposedly her two stepmothers after Chris, because, you know, her father got married to someone that he was with for 9 years after Chris. And
okay,
then he got married for 3 months to somebody else 3 months before he died. So both of those ex-wives are saying that that he told them that he's not her biological father, but he loved her the same. So
wow.
I think there's some truth there, and I think Chris needs to go ahead and just let it out. She can't be the new Diana Ross keeping secrets for years about who her kid's father,
right,
her kid's father is. So I think she'll be doing her daughter a favor. It's none of our business, but I think she'll be doing Khloe a favor.
But for her daughter, yeah, on a personal level.
Right. Remember the McDonald's girl who went behind the McDonald's counter and got in a guy's face and got beat up? What a charge.
They got beat down. For real.
Charges got dropped.
Wow.
The guy, you know, he was charged with, you know, domestic violence or assault or something.
Right.
It got dropped, but the girls are charged with a crime now. So they were in court today, and I think their crime was assault as well.
Okay.
So his charges got dropped, and they're facing charges. I thought that was kind of
crazy.
Well,
they went
crazy. They started it. Yeah,
and
they were
drunk.
Jumped behind the counter and got beat
down.
Yeah,
something for him.
And tried to beat up the guy and jump the guy, but they actually got beat down. So
yeah, he had something for him.
Exactly. I know you've heard of all the craziness going on with Rihanna, supposedly.
Yeah.
She has been drinking and smoking and posting pictures of her smoking weed and trying to get back with Chris Brown and being drunk, drinking too much. I don't know what's going on with her, but, you know, I hope she gets it together. Some people are saying that she needs to go to rehab, but she may just be enjoying her. She's only 23. She may just be doing the typical 20 stuff. I know that her Chris Brown's girlfriend was online making fun of her accent because supposedly she's been trying to get back to Chris Brown and meet him in the studio and things like that, and I hope that's not true. But what do you think about that?
Yeah, I heard that Chris Brown's happy with his current girlfriend, and Rihanna is trying to break them up. She's trying to get back Chris Brown, going to see him in the studio, calling him, texting him, and the girlfriend's not having it. But I actually read online, and I don't know if it's true or not, but that Chris Brown tattooed his girlfriend's face on his body over the weekend. So,
really?
Who knows?
Oh, okay. Well, it is what it is. And I know that you've heard, did we talk about the baby last week? Blue Ivy?
Oh,
we
yeah.
About Blue Ivy, didn't we?
Did we talk about Blue? Yeah, I think we did talk about her. Yeah.
Yeah, because I believe she was announced on last Monday, so I believe
right,
we did
yeah,
talk about
we
her.
Yeah, we talked about her. Yeah.
Speaking of baby and drama,
did you hear that Beyonce and Jay-Z are trying to shoot their next video in the moon? On the moon?
Yeah, I heard that.
Isn't that crazy?
I think so.
Astronauts study years to go up there. What are they going to do? I don't know.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, but I think it's crazy and it's crazy expensive. So.
Right, yeah.
I have no clue.
But go ahead.
Okay. Anyway, speaking of babies, Fantasia, baby daddy that she stole from his wife, supposedly is cheating on her now. So that's a prime example of what goes around comes around. What else is going on? Single ladies is You know, their second season will be starting pretty soon. Looking forward to that. Stacey Dash is no longer on the cast.
Right.
You know, there was a whole bunch of drama, her being fired shortly after season one was over. I don't know what the story is behind that, but she's definitely going to be missed. I don't think the show is going to be the same without her, but we will see what happens. The Game came back on last week. I wasn't really a big Game fan before, The Game fan before, so, I mean, I've watched it here and there, but I'm not an addict like everyone else seems to be. And
right.
They complain about the show, but they seem to be watching it, so.
Yeah, it's getting ready.
Big ups to all the Games fan. I appreciate you guys supporting black shows regardless. That is about it, unless you can think of anything else going on right now.
Well, that's it. What we're going to do is take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to talk to comedian Rodney Perry. Look forward to it. We'll be right back after this.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. Somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry. Yes, I'm black. I'm proud of it. I'm black and beautiful.
Chicago and raised in Monroe, Louisiana, the road to stardom has not always been paved with fun and laughs. But whatever his surroundings, Perry always used comedy to pave his way to success. He's co-host on the Monique Show, and also had a starring role in Tyler Perry's The Diaz Big Happy Family. Please help me welcome comedian Rodney Perry. Welcome to the show.
I said, who are you talking about? That don't even make it sound like I've been doing my thing, man. How y'all doing, man? What's up, Steve?
Been doing your thing. Welcome to the show.
Oh, and I was listening to y'all Hot Topic, Single Ladies. Now, this is what I hear about single ladies. I mean, I think, you know, there was some drama with Stacey Dash and Lisa Ray.
Right,
apparently, you know, they just wasn't getting along. And it's crazy because I was actually at the table read before they shot anything. And they were all, everybody was real cool. Everybody was real, you know, like getting along. And you know, so it was kind of crazy to kind of hear that later on. But, you know, the word kind of around here in Atlanta is that Stacey Dash was kind of a diva and she felt like it was her show. And and your girl Lisa Ray, straight out of Chicago, was like, "No sugar,
not over here.
not your show like that."
I mean, they both seem to have a reputation of being hard to work with, which is, you know, that's bad because I really like to share with them.
You know, having worked with a great, a comedic great, you know, any woman that's not a pushover is a bitch,
right?
You know, so that's just what it is. But, you know, I mean, I think they're all strong. And you know, I mean, we've seen with Basketball Wives and Love and Hip Hop and L.A. Basketball Wives and Baseball Wives and the Real Housewives of Albuquerque. We've seen that if you put two women in a room, something crazy
going
to happen.
It's going down.
Well, that's just what it is.
Well, what are your thoughts on these reality shows? Like every time you turn around, it's a new one coming out with these women and their fights and everything. What's your take on that?
Man, you know what? This is the reality. That's kind of what it is right now, and it'll run its course, and we'll be looking back. You know, the biggest disappointment for me is not the show. It's the people. Like, you know, I'm here in Atlanta, so you see the Real Housewives of Atlanta. You see, like, a few of the different, you know, people come in town to host parties, and they're never nice. They're never nice people. They won't take pictures with people. They won't stop, you know, because I believe that they've achieved their success without really wanting it. And so you see them in the airport treating people bad. I mean, my brother told me, he said, man, I saw NeNe and somebody asked for a picture. And she like, no, I don't do pictures. So I'm less judgmental, and they are the exception and not to rule to women. Like, I think that they're all spoiled. They're all kind of, you know, halfway think they elite and they not, you know. And so we get the glimpse into their life, and it's like watching a train wreck. You can't say you ain't watched a marathon or one of them shows once.
one rainy Saturday day.
Man, you'll catch yourself rooting for NeNe. You be like, go ahead, tell him, NeNe. So it's kind of, you know, food for the masses right now, and nobody wants to invest anymore. I mean, we're a microwave society, so days of investing in a whole season of TV, when I can just cherry pick the episodes and not really miss nothing, that's really what it's about.
Absolutely, that's true.
And I think you made a good point because they didn't have to work for their success. They don't really appreciate their fans as much. And I don't think it's more of people being fans. I think it's just being able to appreciate the people who put you where you are. Because if it wasn't for the people watching the show, you wouldn't be who you are. So I think it's important to keep that in mind that, you know.
This is the reality. They are
there.
They are terribly consistent. Like, you can't expect them to be a bitch on TV, and then you meet them in real life and they be cool.
Because
they're not acting.
True.
They're being themselves. So the person that you see on TV that be cussing people out and going off and telling everybody that she rich, that's her.
Right. That's true. Yeah.
You know, that's the way she get down. So that's the crazy part. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about you, Rodney. When did you know for yourself that you were funny and that comedy was something that you were going to pursue?
I came out of my mother's womb, and the doctor slapped me, and I said, "Your mama." And it's been down here. No, all jokes aside. I had a teacher in second grade that would let me tell jokes at the end of class if I would shut up throughout the course of the day. That's how long I've had an inkling of what comedy was. I mean, my mom would have parties at the house, you know, like a house party. And what they would do is they would sit in the living room and listen to Richard Pryor records. Well, my room was right off to the living room, so I would lay on the floor and listen, cracking up. You know, so I've been influenced by comedy. I mean, from my earliest memories is of stand-up comedy and kind of having an idea what it was, but I wouldn't find it as a profession till like the late 80s, early 90s, and that's when I said, you know, this is what I want to do, and that was because of Eddie Murphy. I saw Eddie Murphy, and I was like, that's it. That's what I've been
doing,
wondering about my whole life.
Well, you know, one thing I didn't know about you was, and when I was doing my research for this show, is that, you know, you served our country and the United States Navy for 8 years. Tell our audience about the crossroads you had to face when you decided that it was time to leave that and pursue comedy full time.
Well, I had a great run in the Navy. I did 8 years from 1990 to 1998, and the entire time I was in the Navy, I was performing because I was never stationed aboard a ship. So I was performing. I would do my job, my yeoman duties during the day, and at night I would do comedy clubs. Well, in 1998, I got to a crossroads, and the crossroads was this. I either would do another tour in the Navy and probably end up retiring at 20, or I could, you know, really pursue my comedy career and give it 100%. And I realized that I was doing probably 50% of each one of those things. I was half-assing my Navy job, and, you know, I was half-assing my comedy job.
Yeah.
So I didn't want to be the old guy that used to be funny.
Right, right.
And that was my main objective. And I remember one of my good friends at the time, John Austin, he pulled me to the side. He said, "Rod, man, I hear you about to, you know, get out the military." And you know, he's like, "Man," he said, "you have moments when you're magical." He said, "you have to get to a point where you control the magic." And I took that, and that's what I worked on for the first 5 or 6 years. You know, when I got to L.A., is being in control of the magic. You know, right now I'm Merlin. I can work this magic.
right, yeah.
You know.
So once you start doing, when you're doing the comedy shows, obviously the reaction had to be great for you to, you know, even consider leaving Navy, which was secure for you. To
Oh, no. I ain't say I was smart. I said I just knew.
Oh, you knew.
a smart man wouldn't have left when I left, because when my first set in Los Angeles, I bombed. You know, I hadn't got out of the Navy yet. I had some friends. I've been murdering stages in the Bay Area. The Bay Area is where I was stationed, killing them. So I had some friends who had talked me into getting up on Fat Tuesday, which at that time was the hottest black comedy stage in the country, right?
Okay.
And Guy Tori used to host, and it was a who's who of Hollywood celebrities. It was nothing to see. Snoop in the audience, John Singleton, you know, that's where they found Chris Tucker at. You know, it was one of those spots. Shaquille O'Neal would be out there at the height. You know, it was crazy. It would be crazy.
Wow,
any given night was that night, you know, at this spot. And they talked me into it. I went in there, and 30 seconds into my set, I started getting booed. And
so what
more
feel like? I mean, I know for me, like, because, you know, I sing, so when I perform, if the audience not giving me anything, you know, it's just like, okay, I don't want to get off the stage. But when they're booing you,
yeah,
what's that
not,
feeling?
Not giving me anything and a boo is two different things.
Right.
Give me anything all day. Let me tell you something. let me give you the psychology of a boo. A boo is this. A boo is everybody that's there decides you ain't nothing all at once. It's kind of a snowball effect. So this one guy to the left of the stage, I can still see him. I'm standing here pointing at him right now. He start booing. The white dude, it's a sea of black people. White dude start booing. I'm like,
he
what the hell? So I still don't mess with white people to this day. But anyway, so the white dudes start booing. And I'm like, okay, I try to hit him. Then somebody else started on the other side of the room. I try to hit him, and now it's snowballing. And
wow.
Long story short, Guy Tori came back out. He was like, "Yo, man, this just ain't your night, man. You can't be talking about my audience like that."
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm flabbergasted. I'm on the verge of making a decision to move to L.A. I haven't moved yet, you know. But I know that this is not it for me. So
right.
They have a sheer curtain that's right behind the stage. I'm standing behind the sheer curtain. I walked off the stage. I'm standing behind that curtain. He's letting me have it. Guy Tori, like, "Man, I hope that dude didn't take the plane out here, because he ain't going to be able to get back on with them bombs." He killing me. He murdering me, right? That's just the one I remember he said. He probably said about 8 jokes, talked about masseuse that looked like Ben Vereen. He just all kind of crazy stuff. Anyway, he killing me. But in the midst of him killing me, somebody in the audience say, young lady right at the front of the lip of the stage, he said, yeah, but he didn't get a chance. Uh-oh. Somebody else said, yeah, let him go back up. Somebody said, yeah, why don't y'all let him go back up? Yeah, let that nigga come back up.
Wow.
So now my fortune is beginning to change. And he come back to the curtain. Sure enough, I'm still standing there. Now, the psychology of getting booed, usually the booee is gone.
Yeah,
usually
yeah.
You look behind that curtain and the dude is gone. But I'm still standing there because I'm shell-shocked. So he come get me. He's like, yo, man, what's up? Now, let me rewind the story. He brought me out like, you remember the 5 heartbeats when the dude get in the messed up intro? You know, this next group say they better than the 4 Tops and the Temptations all rolled into one. He gave me that intro at first. Right. So the second time he bring me out, he's like, yo, coming to the stage from Chicago, Illinois, show some love, one of the coaches, they just shows Rodney Perry. They start clapping for me. I go out, in my mind, I got to make an edit because whatever I started off with before wasn't working. So I edit to the joke that I was going to close on. I do that joke. I get a laugh. I take a deep breath, and I say, man, you know what? I think that's all I'm going to get out of y'all for tonight. My name is Rodney Perry. That's my time. And I walked off. I made a decision in that moment that I would never do anything but stand-up comedy the rest of my life, because if I could make it through those moments, run the gamut of emotion from losing to winning within a couple of minutes, I knew this was what I was supposed to do. If I had never known before, I knew at that point. And I packed up my family maybe a couple of weeks later. We moved to L.A., and we've been banging it out ever since.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, what was your wife's reaction when you told her that you were going to leave the Navy to begin this comedy career or to really pursue the comedy career full time?
My mother's reaction was more volatile than my wife, because my wife just had my back, you know.
Okay.
I mean, she didn't know. I mean, it was a complete leap of faith, but she knew enough about me to know I wouldn't be no good without comedy. But my mom let me have it. I told my mom I was about to get out of the Navy. She was like, who going to take care of these kids? I can't do it, you know. I don't know what you think. I mean, and she gave it to me. When I tell you, and this is one of my closest friends, my mother. My mother killed me for like an hour. And I said, Mom, I respect your opinion, but this is something that I got to do. And she would tell me later on, maybe like a couple of weeks later, that she had to put that type of pressure on me, because if I would have folded under her pressure, then I wouldn't have been ready. So, you know, she put that on me. My mom is gangster. And if you listen to my blog talk show, you hear her come on all the time and say how proud she is and all that craziness. My mom's so off the chain, you know.
I got to check her out.
Most of my family that didn't believe, them the ones that ask me for money now.
Oh, those are the ones. I always knew. I always knew you'd do it.
this is my cousin. All my cousins. And I thought you should have quit, but I'm glad you didn't.
Right. They keep it real.
That's why you still pee in the bed. That's what I tell them.
So when you first moved to Cali, I know that you worked a lot of different jobs, you know, I guess trying to support your family while you're pursuing the dream.
Absolutely.
What was it that maybe, because, you know, a lot of people pursue dreams, whether it be singing, acting, comedy, and it just takes them forever to get that break. What was it that allowed you to continue pursuing it, you know, working these odd jobs?
Well, there was a couple of things, man. When I first got off the I'm Gonna Make It bus, my wife and I started managing an apartment building. And only reason we took this job is because it was free rent. And I was like, man, this is great. When I tell you, this was the worst job I ever had, because you working for free rent, but you think your rent, my rent was like $700. They had me on call 24 hours a day. I was a maintenance man. I was collecting rent. I was doing accounting. You know, it was the worst deal. It's the dumbest move I ever made. This lady used to break stuff. I think she halfway liked me, because every time I come over the house, she in her night coat. She about 6'50". you know.
Right.
She had a night, and she can't, you know, her night coat's so small, she couldn't really keep it together. So it was all bulging out. And my wife used to say, your friend called again. I'm like, look, I do not want to go over there. You know, and so that was a tough job. People don't want to pay their rent. They crawling up under my window. You know, the whole family, kids, everybody trying to hide. I'm like, it was tough. So we did that. And in my Navy life, I was a yeoman, which is basically administrative assistant or a secretary. So I had clerical skills. So, you know, I temped at a modeling agency. I temped at a lot of different places, just temp jobs. And my last temp job, I was working at the VA. I had been there about maybe like 2 weeks, and they were considering hiring me.
Okay.
You know, so I had kind of gotten off track. I was, you know, in the regular life, I'm taking care of my family, and these people are considering hiring me, and I befriended this amputee. This guy was confined to a wheelchair, but he was cut off at both knees. And we would have these conversations every day at lunch. And the last conversation we would have, we was talking, and he was like, what are you doing here? And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, aren't you here to be a comedian? And I had to stop and really take an inventory of that. And I walked out of that temp job that day, and I haven't worked a regular job since then. And of course, I've done other things, you know, along the way. I've written for comedians. I wrote for Steve Harvey when he had Steve Harvey's Big Time. You know, I've toured with George Lopez, Sed the Entertainer, Monique, of course. A warm-up kept me breathing. You know, if you ever watch a television show, a sitcom, if they have a live studio audience, there's somebody that keeps them charged up for 2 or 3 hours every day.
Yeah,
and I did that. And that kept us breathing for a long time, man.
Okay. So what was it, in your opinion, that was your big break that got you to where you are? I know it took some steps to get to where you are today, but what was the big break that you knew that you were going in the direction that you're supposed to be doing?
Man, I'm still waiting on my damn big break. Hopefully, I ain't had that yet. But there, you know, what this is the way I characterize it. There is always a series of events. There's, you know, people try to lock you down into one event. I mean, I won the Bay Area Black Comedy Competition in 2002, and that was big for me. Because that started a domino effect. Because I won that competition. Well, 2001, I went and I performed in the competition, and I made it to the semifinals. And that year, I met Cedric the Entertainer's road manager, a guy by the name of KB. Well, KB and I just kind of hit it off. He was cool. I was cool. And he said, "Hey, Rod, man, I'm gonna plug you with Sed." And that's back when. Remember, Cedric had the Bud Light commercials.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, it was during that time he had the Bud Light commercial. He had a Bud Light comedy tour after the Kings of Comedy. And where he took up-and-coming comics around the country, he would host the show, and he would showcase us. So when I did that competition 2001, I met KB. KB plugged me with Sed. So I went and I toured with Sed. The first weekend, I only had a one weekend, which was a Friday and Saturday. You would fly out of L.A. and fly out of L.A. to the city, which was Detroit. Then you would take the tour bus, the Bud Light tour bus, to the next city, which was Indianapolis. Now, Cedric opened my eyes to the possibilities of being a star because he dealt with us first class and he didn't have to. We was all Rudy Poots, but he would send a car to our house. You know, like you touring with Sed, you would get a sedan, show up at your house in time enough to take you to the airport, take you to the airport. You flew with Sed. You stayed at the best hotels with Sed. You got on this beautiful tour bus. You was on the tour bus, video games, food, everything you wanted at your disposal, bed, lay down, whatever you wanted to do. Then you would get to the other venue, all first-class accommodations. Then you would fly back home. It was amazing.
Wow. It was amazing, dog.
So I do the first weekend. And I'm just thankful to have gotten that weekend. That's back when they had the two-way page. I didn't even have a nice phone at that time. I just had the little flip, not the big Motorola Sky page. I had the little bullshit one, the little, little bitty one. And I was texting, and I was like, yo, KB, man, thanks, man. I really appreciate the gig. He hit me right back. Yo, Rod, can you work next weekend? Somebody that he had also booked had fell out. He couldn't do it. And I did that following weekend. Said kind of took a liking to me, and I went on to do probably out of maybe 22 dates that summer, I did maybe 18 of them.
Oh, wow.
And I played everywhere. I played Madison Square Garden. I played the Masonic Auditorium in San Francisco. I played the Circle Theater in Houston. I played the Fox Theater in Detroit. I played the Murat Theater in Indianapolis. Sid showed us the whole country. And I walked back into that competition the following year with so much confidence that it was nobody that was going to beat me. And that was a great moment in my career because it was a break in this respect. It allowed my peers to know who I was, and it put me on the national radar, you know, to where people start paying attention. But you know, there would be 100 more breaks between now and then.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Well, one thing I didn't know prior to my research was that you knew Monique prior to Coast and the Monique show.
Oh,
tell us a little bit about how you all met and why you call her like your sister today. Tell us about that relationship.
She's my sister. She's my personal angel. My first encounter with Monique, and I, of course, the comedy community is very small. So she became aware of me through an assistant she had. And, of course, I knew who she was because I was a fan of the Parkers and things of that nature.
Yeah.
And so her assistant and she came to see me at the comedy store in L.A. Now, now, mind you, you know my history at the comedy store. I bombed at the comedy store the first time I met.
Right.
Now, years later, I'm headlining. And matter of fact, now that I'm thinking about it, that was really the night that I exercised that demon. Because once you bomb at a place, that place holds kind of a little stigma over you.
That
particular night was the night that I let it go and I just destroyed this place. I murdered this place. Well, I get a call 2 days later. It's Monique. You know, I'm like, hello. She's like, hey. I'm like, hey. I'm like, who is this? She said, it's Monique. I'm like, Monique who? She said, Monique. I'm like, what? Okay. So we began to talk, and she told me that she thought I was amazing. She's like, I love your comedy. And what was impressive to her is the fact that I talked about my wife and my family. And see, a lot of comics play single, you know, because they want to holler at the women. They want to feel single.
Right.
You know, they
all
think
right.
It's better for them comedically. But, you know, that's just never – it's just easier for me not to make up material. You know, it ain't that, you know, I don't want, you know, I'm married, but I like women to like me. But it's easier. My comedy is more important than that. So, you know, I've always kept my life very real. And she was like, man, you know, I know what it's like to have a family and do this. She said, don't take this the wrong way, but can I take your wife on a shopping spree? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Hell yeah. So. She took my wife on a shopping spree.
I bet you won't complain. Your wife.
She spent upwards of $2,000 in our home that day. You know, everything from groceries to things that my wife needed and wanted to. You know, it was just a completely, you know, great gesture. And I got her back on the phone and I'm like, how do I pay you back for this? And she said, you don't. She said, someday you'll be able to bless some comic the way I'm blessing you.
Wow.
And that's my intro to Monique. And we would do gigs, you know, here and there. I mean, we wasn't, you know, bosom buddies. Like, we wasn't talking to each other every night or nothing like that. But we was always cool. And she had a radio show probably about 3 years later where she was syndicated about 15 markets around the country. She had a gentleman that was her co-host. For whatever reason, that wasn't working out. And I went in to a remote. She was out in public. I got invited to a remote they were doing. And I went in there, and we had a ball on the radio. We had an instant chemistry. And I guess that day they began to possibly consider Rodney Perry being her co-host on the radio.
Right.
And so I went in for the first time the day after we elected Barack Obama. It was a Wednesday. Now, I'll give you a glimpse into my background. during my journey in Los Angeles, I did radio in L.A. for 3 years at a station called KJLH, which Stevie Wonder owned.
Oh, okay.
And I did that for 3 years for free, right? And people would talk about me. What happened, I had a comedy night at a comedy club in L.A. called the Comedy Union, and I started going to the radio station just to advertise my night, my Friday night show. Well, Friday night turned into come in next week, turn into 2 months, turn into 3 months, turn into 3 years. Right.
Wow.
And that was kind of a tough time because people talked, you know, people that knew the situation were like, man, what you going up there for? You ain't making no money. What you doing? But I knew that I was learning, and I knew I was building my brand in L.A. because it was people that was hearing my name every day. Right. So fast forward to getting an opportunity with Monique, I'm kind of shell-shocked because I don't know if this is the first day of 3 more years of free radio.
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk in the studio. We have a great show, top to bottom. At the end of the day, they say, hey, Rod, we'll see you tomorrow. I'm like, damn, here we go.
I go to my wife.
My wife's such a gangster, right? My wife, mm-hmm. she's like, I was like, babe, you know, man, I'm just worried that it's going to be like another 3-year hit, you know. And she was like, do you really think that the lady that took me on a shopping spree would let you work for one day, let alone 3 years for free?
That's true.
I was like, you know what? That's why I mess with you. So we go in Thursday, radio show go great. Thursday come and go. At the end of Thursday, they say, hey, man, see you tomorrow. I'm like, fuck. Friday come and go. The end of Friday, Monique's husband, Sidney Hicks, pulled me to the side. Now I'm worried. I don't know if you've ever been pulled to the side, but now I'm worried about getting fired. You know?
Exactly.
How you going to get fired if you ain't even got the job yet, Craig? You know? So I'm worried. Sidney said, yo, Rod, man, we love your chemistry with Monique, and she loves you. We want you to be a part of our team. I'm like, yeah. Before I can say yes, he's like, I gotta be honest with you, bro. I mean, we can only pay you a 6-figure salary.
Huh? Wow.
That's all.
Sign me up, dog.
Right.
So we signed up. And I tell this story, and people look at me, they like, and I tell this on stage sometimes. When I feel like an audience that needs to see your journey, I tell them this story. Mm-hmm. But to some people, that's the end, and that could be a great ending, but that only went on for 5 months. We went November, December, January, February, March. By March, it's over.
Okay.
The show is canceled, right? Mm-hmm. And it was kind of a sense of what to do now, but I knew what to do because I've been doing comedy at this point for 15 years. So I just went back to the stage, started cracking jokes. My wife and I began the house hunt that summer. And we was kind of hunting around, looking for houses, and we're in and around L.A., quickly realizing we couldn't afford nothing. And I get a call from Monique. Hey, what's up, Mo? What's going on? What y'all doing? We out here kind of looking for some houses. Y'all looking for some houses. This is what she do when she really contemplates something. She go,
That's all, Monique.
Yeah, she always hit you with that. Then she's like, she's like, why don't you hold off on that? I turn to my wife. I say, baby, Mo said, hold off. My wife was like, the economy is telling us to hold off.
Right.
So we, long story short, we kind of suspended our house hunting. I mean, because we just couldn't afford anything in L.A. And I get a call maybe 2 weeks later. It's Monique. She's excited. Rodney. I just made the biggest deal in BET history, and I want you to roll, baby. We about to do this. Can't talk to you right now. I got to go. Click. Whoa. The next call I would get 2 weeks later, a week later, is Sidney. Yo, Rod, boy, we about to do this. BET going to be calling you, man. It's about to be crazy. We about to do this. We going to TV, baby. We ain't doing radio more. We doing TV. I got to go. Click. I'm like, okay, y'all going to stop hanging up on me. Okay.
You know what?
Okay. The next call I would get would be from BET. Rodney Perry.
Wow.
This is so-and-so executive from BET. Would you be willing to relocate to Atlanta to perform on the Monique show It'll be a nightly show. You'll be on 5 days a week.
Wow.
Yeah, sign me up. We did 300 episodes of hour-long TV in 2 years. I'm completely proud of the show. I'm proud of my friend Monique. And now in the show's absence, after looking at my journey, I can only imagine what's next.
Yes, but so you went from the show because, you know, the show, I think everyone was shocked when it left the air, but.
Yeah, what happened to the show?
This is the quick story from that I was told. They said, I got a call in September, which was the time we would have start production for the new season, for season three. And they was like, yo, Rod, the show's been put on in indefinite hiatus. You know, man, go get yours, you know, because we don't know what the state of the show is going to be. And BET never put out a press release. If you kind of look up, like, the show, I'm the only one that said something, and they caught me on accident. Because I'm stupid. You know, I got a call from the Atlanta Journal here, and the dude just asked me a couple of questions. I was like, you know, I thought it was common knowledge, you know.
Right, yeah.
And I'm the only one that's ever said anything about this publicly.
Wow.
It's so funny. Yeah. But, I mean, it's no secret. I mean, this is what I tell people. If you got a job and you ain't been there in 5 months, you probably been laid off.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Now, in my humble opinion, my opinion as a person, the show is probably more than BET ever invested in, like, time-wise. Like,
okay.
All the productions BET have done over the last 20 years been kind of one and done, except for 106 and Park. Every other show, you can shoot, you know, you can shoot Comic View in a couple of weeks and be done, and you can then... You're not dedicating man hours to that show. You know, we took 7 months. We shot from September, October, November, December, January, February, March. Mm-hmm. You know, so we shot 7 months. We did a lot of television in 2 years. So I think it may have been more of a financial burden than they were willing to continue to be a part of. So you'll still see the show. It still comes on. You know, I'm still getting mileage out of it. And we gave a lot of people a look that people hadn't been checking for in a long time. And that's what I'm most proud of. I mean, you know, people hadn't seen Force MDs. Wasn't nobody trying to see, you know, who came on there? It was so many people. The young man that was an amputee, that was a wrestler, nobody was trying to catch him, see what he was talking about. You know, nobody was trying to see these artists that, you know, Charlie Wilson. You know, it wasn't an outlet for those guys. So we gave those guys that outlet.
One thing about Monique was that she, I don't care who you were, she made you feel, you know, she made you feel important about your craft. If you were an actor, even if you weren't even that well known, she supported you.
Yeah.
She made you feel like you were like an A-list, you know, star, because that's just the kind of support that you all provided for the people that came to get your show, and I recognize that.
Right. When she was on her run for the Oscar, right?
Mm-hmm.
She said she got a question. You know, she was on one of the Golden Globes or something, and one of the reporters said, "Well, Monique, how does it feel to be in the mainstream now?" And she was like, "Mainstream." She's like, "Why is your stream the mainstream? You know, the stream I've been in been wonderful for the past 20 years. So what's wrong with my stream? So let me ask you, how does it feel to be in my stream?" And that's one of the most powerful statements. And I think we got to embrace that more, because a lot of us, we want to assimilate so bad that we lose who we are. And, you know, I think we got to stay focused and you know, be okay with your stream. I like my stream.
Yeah. Absolutely, absolutely. So obviously, you gotta, you know, people recognize you. They saw you. I don't know. Well, you even don't know, but I know you hosted the 2011 ATL Hottest Entertainment Awards.
Yes, sir.
And I was one of the artists there that was nominated. But also, you did even bigger things with going in Tyler Perry working in his movie Madea's Big Happy Family. How'd you get that call? I mean, how'd you get involved in that project?
Everything that's ever happened to me in entertainment has come through my stand-up. So I'm at the Uptown. I took a date at the Uptown I didn't want to take, first of all. I just, because they offered me some BS money, and I was like, man, yeah, huh. But I took it because I just, I'd rather work than not work. And it was a Tuesday and Wednesday. I was like, cool, I'll do it. So I go in on a Tuesday and Wednesday. On Wednesday night, Roger Bob, who was Tyler Perry's right-hand man at the time, he came out and saw me. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the show, he came up to me and said, hey, Rod, man, I'm a fan. He said, man, I'm going to give you a call tomorrow. And I'm thinking he's going to call, you know, shoot, tell me I'm great, you know, whatever.
Right.
The call I get is from Tyler Perry Studios. Yo, Rodney, we got your number from Roger Bob. I want you to come in and read for the role of Harold on Madea's Big Happy Family. Now, so that was Tuesday, Wednesday. I went in on a Thursday. I got the script. I want to say Thursday about 10 a.m. I was auditioning by 11:30. That's how long I had the work. I had to drive over there, and so I only had the paperwork for only maybe 45 minutes an hour. Drove over to Tyler Perry Studios, auditioned for a lady by the name of Alpha Tyler. Alpha Tyler is the best casting agent I've ever read for because she makes you feel comfortable. You know, it's not her against you, it's her and you against the world.
Right, so
she's awesome. She's awesome. So I read for her. She was like, Rodney, you on tape, but I want Reuben Cannon to see you. He's here. Reuben Cannon is Tyler Perry's left-hand man. I go in the room with Reuben Cannon now. Rewinding my career, Reuben Cannon is actually the guy that booked me for a Johnson Family Vacation that I did with Said the Entertainer, years ago.
Yeah.
So I walk into Reuben's office. I do the same thing I did for Alpha Tyler, and then he started just, you know, we start having a conversation. He's like, well, where you come from? We've been trying to fill this role, blah, blah. I'm like, man, I said, actually, Mr. Cannon, you know, I worked for you before. And he's like, that is you. He just was tripping. So that day, that's Thursday. Friday, I don't hear nothing. I don't hear nothing Friday. And Saturday afternoon, I'm on the phone with one of my boys. I'm like, dog, I went in for this Tyler Perry joint, but I don't think it's going to happen because they shoot on Monday, and they haven't called. They would have called yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
And no sooner as I said that, the phone rang. I look at the call ID. It's Tyler Perry Studios. I say, dog, I got to go. Click. Clicked over. Hey, Rodney Perry, man, we're going to call you and tell you congratulations. You booked the role of Harold and Madea's Big Happy Family. And that's how I got the job. And that was a Saturday. I went into wardrobe that same day. I was shooting on Monday morning.
You did a really good job, like, in that movie. You're very believable. It wasn't over the top. I mean, you're a really good actor. I was surprised, of how good you were. You did really good. Do you plan on doing any more acting in the future?
Oh, yeah, man. I got a movie that's coming out. I did a movie with Tony Rock called The Last Laugh, which is a drama about stand-up comedy. It shows, you know, a comic going through addiction, and I play his best friend, and it shows how you go through the ups and downs in this game and, you know, how you have to make those decisions between your family and your career and all of that. So that's already in the can. You'll see that on DVD, and then you'll see it probably on Showtime. And I'm actually slated to do another movie that's a complete drama, Gangster Joint, which I'm excited about because I've always played comedic roles. So this Gangster Joint, I'm playing a killer. I'm shooting, you know, the whole nine. So I go out to Philly and shoot that like in March, man. And my newest scoop is my stand up, man. With Monique and Madea, I've got a lot of brand new fans that never have seen me perform. So you know, we've been touring around the country and we've been doing a lot of stand up. But I just booked my comedy special. So I'll be shooting my comedy special February 24th, All-Star Weekend, Orlando, Florida, with the Shaquille O'Neal All-Star banner on top of everything. It's going to be crazy, and it's going to be what really put me, you know, like you say, what's your big break? I'll be saying that next year.
Mm.
That's
I
what's
going
to take me from, you know, a regular comic to the comic with the cape on.
I hear that. I hear that. Well, I have one last question for you before I let you go. What do you want your legacy to be when it's all said and done?
You know, that's a great question. When this is what I want. I want people to say that guy was a great father. He was a better husband. But when they start talking about comics and they start going through the greats, they say, well, you know, you had Richard Pryor. You got to throw Richard Pryor in. You know, you had Eddie Murphy. You can't not talk about Eddie Murphy. You got Bill Cosby. You got Dick Gregory. You got Miles Mabley. And when they start talking about the great people that made people laugh, I just want my name to be in the discussion.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. That's really what I want, and that's what I'm working toward. But that takes a lifetime of work. You know, some people can do it in a couple of years. You know, I plan on doing it the long way. You know, where you be sitting, you be like, this nigga still telling jokes. He 108.
Well, it definitely looks like the future is bright for you. You know, I think you've definitely put in your work as you are. You know, and you're starting to see really, really, really see bigger and bigger, bigger, better things happen for you. So we wish you nothing but the best. And definitely thank you for coming on the show tonight.
Hey, and I want to apologize. I missed last week, man. I'm working on my health, and my blood pressure has spiked up, and I thought I was having a stroke.
God, we're definitely happy you're okay.
Yeah, I'm okay, but, they gave me some blood pressure pills, and I hadn't been taking them because they'd make your little thing don't be working properly. So.
Oh, my God.
So.
You have black folks.
Can't mess with that.
Hey, I told him, y'all want to really tell black folks, get this right, let black men know that if they don't get straight, that they're going to have to deal with that. And so I'm all over my health. I'm eliminating meat out of my diet, and we really trying to get sexy and fly as we move into 2012 in a big way.
I hear that. Well,
I'm getting rid of all my big dude jokes.
All the big dudes are gone.
Gone, man.
Well, listen, thanks so much for coming on tonight, man, and best luck with everything going. I can't wait for that stand-up for your show coming up. I can't wait to see that.
Absolutely, man. We'll keep y'all abreast, man. Thank you for having me, Stephen. Y'all put on a great show, man. I'm a fan, and we'll keep listening. My Twitter, I'm at Rodney Perry. I'm all very active on my Twitter. My website is rodneyperry.com, and you can get to all my other stuff through there, YouTube and all that other stuff. So thank you for having me on, bro.
All right, we appreciate you, man.
Definitely.
All right, man, be good.
Appreciate you.
All right. Yeah.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after this.
Procom Voices is your complete resource for finding professional voiceover talent for all types of projects, radio and TV, Flash, corporate video narrations, and more. Here's what sets Procom apart. We give you fast access to professional voice talent from all across the country. Actors and actresses who are handpicked by Procom and experienced in bringing copy to life. And you direct your voiceover session live, by phone, as it's happening, so you can be sure of the results. Start by searching our online talent demos broken down into convenient categories. Or call our casting experts for helpful advice in finding the perfect voice. Once you've chosen one or more voice talents, simply submit your script and book your talent online. Or just call us, toll free. At session time, you'll be connected to Procom by phone patch. Listening in on your session, you'll have the ability to interact with the voice talent you've cast and direct them yourself. Try multiple styles, hear playback, and request editing from your Procom producer to craft the perfect read. We can even connect directly to your favorite local studio via ISDN. Once you're satisfied with your recording, your files are immediately uploaded to our secure FTP site in the format you request, and you're sent a link by email. Procom Voices, top quality voiceovers. Simple, fast, and affordable. Contact us today to get started.
Welcome back to the Stephen Knight Show. We're going to briefly go into the Stephen's playlist. We receive music from people all over the country wanting to be featured on the list. Tonight we're playing artists such as Yarny Brave, YS, and Drake. If you want to be featured on the playlist, send your music, MP3s, bio, and promotional pictures to thestephennightshow@gmail.com. It must be edited for radio, no cursing. Look forward to hearing from you. The first song is from Ant Dior featuring Marty, entitled Check It Off. Check it out and enjoy Stephen's playlist.
I am the flyest, call me the pilot. You bust is funny, y'all are a riot. Give y'all a high kick, right to the noggin. No, that didn't rhyme, but give me applause. It's Spalding, ballin' in the motherfucker mollish. It's tallish, it's so a face is that my hogging up the mirror to perfect all of my flaws. Excuse if I take long, I'm the bomb like napalm. Word of mouth is the best kind of advertising, so I'ma let the beginning talk, keep them smiling. They all worried about my dressing, Thousand Island. Since when did y'all become my advisor? Again, the answer's never. I'm so clever, I got these chickens cheesing, cheddar, green like lettuce. They slow, man, catch up. They beefing like burgers, so it's me they trying to set up. The tables round, I'm surrounded, yeah, my clear with me. It's about to go down, we about to make some history. I pays no attention, so that bullshit you be missing me. I'm about to have a ball, so can I get my list, please?
If it's being fly on my list, check it out, check it out. If I got my eye on the chick, check it out, check it out. If I got my drink in my hand and my head in the sky and we feeling all good, check it out, 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 check it out. Yeah, we up in the playoffs. Check it out, 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 check it out.
Every day the sex marathon, no revolver, but I keep the magnums on. You love the attention, yeah, so with cameras on. Bring your girl in, no, she's not a tag along. I'm excited that you invited her after all. I'm not greedy, just love that I can have it all. Best of both worlds, like PC and Macintosh. And I'm a born with her, so you never take a loss. Not Ross, but you can call me the illest boss.
Baby, come and get with me. I wanna get freaky. My love is hard to make it hot. Lady,
driving me crazy.
Go ahead, baby. I'm just kidding. That's all the night.
That was Steven's playlist. Hope you enjoyed it.
It was short this week, but, you know, it was for good reasons.
Good reasons.
Shout out to Mr. Perry.
Absolutely.
That was a good interview.
Yeah. He's a very funny guy.
Yeah, very funny and down to earth, and it's going to be a really nice person. So I'm definitely going to look up his blog talk and try to support him.
Absolutely.
Try to support his shows and movies and whatever he has out there. You know, it's good to support good artists and good people.
Absolutely. So what's your week looking like, Ms. Parker?
My week? I'm looking forward to the weekend.
Right, the weekend. That's amazing. We're talking about right here. Well, we want to thank you all for coming on. I mean, for everyone listening tonight, today to have really good shows for you. And have a great week.
Have a great week. We'll see you back here next week.
God bless.
Entrepreneurs on the move, reshaping lives for a better tomorrow.